This podcast is intended to support UK healthcare professionals with education. The information provided in this podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment, and patients are encouraged to consult healthcare providers, including nurses, for any medical questions or concerns.
Welcome to Stoma and Continence Conversations from Coloplast Professional, where healthcare professionals and experts by experience discuss the latest hot topics in the worlds of stoma, continence care and specialist practice. I'm Hannah Patterson. I've worked in specialist care and I'm currently the Ostomy Care Associate Education Manager at Coloplast. On this episode, we're discussing being pregnant whilst having a stoma with Coloplast Ambassador Beth.
I didn't really have to do much. I was just as I was, products were the same, other than having nausea from a pregnancy point of view. But bowels wise, I was absolutely fine. We're out and about going to baby groups. We're having a great time.
Hello, I'm very excited to bring you this episode as I chat to Beth about her pregnancy. Now, we've actually divided this episode into two parts, before and after the birth of Beth's little boy, Robin. And later you'll hear about what life has been like for Beth since Robin made his way into the world. But first, we're actually going to travel back in time to November last year, 2023, when Beth was 31 weeks into her pregnancy. So let's get into that conversation. To start with, I asked Beth how her pregnancy has been going.
Yeah, it's been going really well. This is my second baby, but it's my first baby with a stoma. So it's really new to me. And so far, it's been okay. There has been some, what would I call them, like rocky parts that I've had to navigate. But really, on the whole, so far, I've been quite good. I've had to make quite a few changes, you know, with guidance and help from other people. It's so far so good.
Fantastic. Now, looking back sort of pre-pregnancy and your stoma, so how long have you had your stoma for?
So I've had a stoma, it will have been 4 years in August that I've had the it's an ileostomy.
An ileostomy. And why did you have your surgery done?
I've had inflammatory bowel disease since I was 13 and I'm now 33, so 20 years. Lots of conversations throughout my journey, whether it's Crohn's or colitis. It was ulcerative colitis for a long time. Then it was Crohn's for years and years. And about a year ago, we're possibly looking back at thinking it's ulcerative colitis again now. So I'm kind of inflammatory bowel disease unclassified, really.
I know that, Billy. I'm in a similar situation. I've been ulcerative colitis for years, now Crohn's, now my Crohn's colitis. Just inflammatory bowel disease is a very broad, encompassing way to say we don't really know.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Covers it all then, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Covers a multitude of bowel sins then. So
yeah.
So was your surgery initially an elective procedure or did you end up having to go down an emergency route?
No, it was elective. So it had been talked about on and off for absolutely years, you know, whilst going through different biologic medications and treatments and stays in hospital and steroids and whatnot. It was brought up quite a lot, but I was quite reluctant when I was younger. I think I didn't really know anyone that had a stoma. I didn't know what it involved. I am a nurse now, but at the time I was a hairdresser and I just thought I didn't know how that would work with my lifestyle. So carried on for as long as possible. But then it sort of got where my admissions were more and more talking about surgery. So then it was planned, but planned within a few weeks of a hospital stay. So I was in hospital and I came back for it a few weeks later.
Sort of an emergency plan, I think they call them, don't
yeah.
they? So now looking more into your pregnancy, without being too true, so this was a planned pregnancy?
Yeah, yes, it was. Yeah.
Lovely. And you've said that you've had to make a few changes along the way. Is that project related or just generally lifestyle related? I know you said you're a nurse as well, so I can imagine. Yes, it's a hard job to do when you're pregnant, nursing.
Yeah, so both really. I've had to make lifestyle changes and product changes. So I would say for the first about 20 weeks, I didn't really have to do much. I was just as I was, products were the same, other than having nausea from a pregnancy point of view. But bowels wise, I was absolutely fine. Nothing changed. And then at about 20 weeks, I started noticing a few changes. So I noticed that I had sort of like the sensation and the feeling that my stoma was struggling to pass things. That was the only way I could describe it. things were still passing, but I felt like things just, I was just really aware of my stoma. So it was as almost as if things were getting a little bit stuck, but managing. That happened for a couple of weeks. And then I started with some bag leaks. Now, I've been really lucky that in the 4 years, I've had minimal bag leaks. I did at first whilst I was working out what products worked for me, but then I've been fine. So that was really unknown to me. I'd had a really bad bag leak at work and I had to go home. And I thought, is this stoma? Is this pregnancy? Is this IBD? I didn't really know. So I phoned the stoma nurses for some advice. And they said it can be really normal in pregnancy to notice these changes. So you can get like abdominal pain. You need to be more careful with what you eat. You can have obstructive type symptoms. And I think that's what I was getting. Because as the weeks went on, I was then accompanied by the pain as well. So I was getting these like strange bouts of abdominal pain, which I've never had before. And then after this episode of abdominal pain, I would then get a bag leak. So it was as if I was getting like these obstructive type symptoms. So what they had advised at the time was to try, you know, a bit more of a low residue diet and be careful of what I'm eating. So that's what I did. And it did make a good deal of help, but it didn't solve it completely. I was still just, things weren't right with the whole, with my bag and my products. So then I reached out to Coloplast and spoken to one of their advisors who was amazing, spoke to her a lot. And she advised that I, number one, changed the template of my bag, because with my stomach then starting to grow, my stoma was bigger. And it wasn't obviously bigger. This was the thing. So it was hard because I couldn't really tell that it was obviously bigger. But when I measured it, it was. It had got quite a bit bigger.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly that template can change without you even noticing. And it isn't until, like, say, you measure it, like, oh, gosh, that has changed a lot.
Yeah, and I think because it was so gradual as well, you don't notice it. So I changed the template. That was the first thing I did. And that was really, really helpful. Things felt more comfortable. I still things I was noticing, like seepage under the base plate. So not full bag leaks, but like seepage and then itchy skin and things like that. So that was happening. So then I went back for more advice from Coloplast, and we reintroduced one of the Brava seals. Which I have used in the past before, just to try and give a bit more of security around where my stoma was. So I've been doing that, and that has really helped. So I've increased the template. I've started to use a seal, and I'm careful about what I eat. And so far, fingers crossed, good. I'm doing all right.
Fantastic. So are you now regularly checking your template? Because obviously in these latter stages of pregnancy, you start to grow quite rapidly. So are you sort of checking your template every week or so, just to give it a bit more of a alteration if you need to?
Yeah, I am. So that is what I'm trying to do, because I am noticing now that I'm getting sort of into 30 weeks plus, I am noticing my stomach is definitely getting a bit bigger week by week. So yes, I'm checking the template, and I also just use a convex bag. But Coloplast advised me over time I may need to change the base plate that I use. I do use a two-piece bag, so I might need to change the base plate to possibly one of the ones for more of a rounder stomach.
So the concave ones, the starfish, concave, as I always call it.
That's the one, yeah, absolutely. So that's what I'm just keeping an eye out. I feel okay this week, but again, it just changes so quickly.
But again, it must be nice knowing that there are options there for you, so that if you do have another issue, so more episodes of seepage, leakage, there are other options for you to try. Whereas, I say, in the early days, it was almost like, well, is there anything I can do? Is there anything I can change to help this? Or is this what my whole pregnancy is going to be like? But now you know there are those little things you can do along the way, which must be, with everything else going on, that must be quite reassuring.
It is. It really is. Because I mean, I've had a 7-year gap between my daughter and then this pregnancy. And I was really nervous about being pregnant with a stoma. I mean, I'm not nervous about being pregnant, about delivery, any of that. That's not worrying me. I was just worried about the actual day-to-day life of being pregnant with a stoma, because you're pregnant for quite a long time. And I thought, you know, when I was getting those leaks and the pain and I just didn't feel right, I was thinking, this is going to be a long 9 months if I have to have this all the way through. So it's really helpful to know I've got, you know, the help of like Coloplast and the Stoma nurses. And I think you just need to keep asking people if you need that help.
It's something I always say, that people will generally help you if you ask for it. If you don't ask, you don't get. It's that good old adage, isn't it? But a lot of people don't think they can ask or there's anything to ask for. I'd encourage people to always, if you don't know, ask. There's no such thing as a stupid question. Another thing you mentioned a bit before was nausea in the early stages of pregnancy. How did you manage that? Because with an ileostomy, you can be prone to dehydration more. Was dehydration an issue for you in those early days, in that first trimester, or were you okay?
Luckily, I was okay. I was never sick. I just felt very sick. It was more that I didn't fancy full meals. It was quite specific things that I wanted. So I went off hot drinks. So I didn't, and I do like tea and coffee. So I didn't drink any hot drinks for about the first 18, 20 weeks. But I wanted lots of water, lots of fruit, like fresh, like nice, refreshing things. So actually, from a dehydration point of view, I was absolutely fine.
Oh, that's really lucky, because I can imagine that would be something that some ostomates potentially struggle with. If you're not so much on the nausea and you're more on the vomiting side of things, it could be something that becomes a problem for some ostomates. Now, you said there was a seven-year gap. So comparing your pregnancy when you had your IBD compared to your pregnancy now with the stoma, how was your pregnancy when you had your full-blown with your IBD? How was that?
It was okay. So from the pregnancy was fine, you know, it felt quite good. And for the first and second trimester, I was really, really good. If anything, I felt better than I had done before, because I'd been having like constant flares and admissions to hospital and things. So I knew that I was, that I could end up being worse, might get better, might stay the same. And actually, I'd say for the first two trimesters, I was a lot better. And then at the time, I was on a medication called adalimumab, which at the time was stopped in your third trimester, because that was the evidence at the time, which has actually changed now. So we do continue it in the third trimester, but it wasn't advised then. So I did stop in my third trimester and I did have a flare up, but they put me back on it because they felt that it outweighed not being on any treatment. So I did go back on it. So that once things had settled down, it was okay. But I still... then at the time had that worry in the back of my mind that I was on some treatment that might not be beneficial to the baby and things like that. But from like the actual pregnancy point of view, it was okay. I was fine. I had extra growth scans, which I'm having this time. And yeah, it went quite well, really. They've both come with different challenges, basically.
Yeah. It's sort of like a bit of a 50-50. You can't really weigh one against the other in that respect. Problems that you had in the first one, you're not having in this one. Problems you're having this one, you weren't having in the first. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. And you're saying about almost like a semi-remission phase in the early stages of your pregnancy when the IBD, that's something that seems to be quite common. And like that sort of early stage remission during those early stages, it's really interesting.
Yeah, I did. I felt great. I felt really, really well in that first part of my pregnancy with Violet. It was great. Yeah, I felt really well.
Isn't it strange? Really strange.
Yeah.
Looking back into working, obviously, with your nursing, any ideas how long you want to try and work for?
So I am hoping to work up to the 8th of December. So I'll be about 36 weeks pregnant. I did about the same with Violet. I think I went off a little bit before that. I think I was about 35 weeks, but I was working shift work. Then I worked on intensive care and I worked 12-hour shifts. My job now, I'm predominantly more office-based and do clinics and telephone appointments and things like that. So it's less physically demanding, but it's equally as mentally, demanding. So I'm going to try and work up to 36 weeks if I can. So I'll be finished on the 8th of December, but I'll just have to see how I go nearer the time.
But it does make a difference, I think, when you have got IBD, things like that, is actually those longer shifts. I used to do 12-hour shifts in the hospital myself, and they wipe you out. My days off, I'd just be sleeping throughout most of my day.
Yeah, it does, absolutely.
So I can't even imagine what it's like when you're pregnant as well and trying to do a 12-hour shift. I don't know how you manage it when you're pregnant with Violet. That must have been, gosh, I can't even imagine how worn out you must have been.
Yeah, it's tricky. And night shifts as well, it's hard, isn't it? So I've got a really nice normal working pattern now, and it fits in really well. So it's working great at the minute.
Fantastic. So what area of nursing are you in now?
Well, I'm an IBD nurse.
Fantastic.
So close to home.
Brilliant. And was that something that you wanted to get into on the back end of your own experiences and your own diagnosis? Was that where that all came from?
Yeah, it was really, because like I think I touched on earlier, I was a hairdresser for quite a long time before I went into nursing. I didn't do nursing straight away. And then after having all my hospital stays, basically watching the nurses, I thought, oh, you know, I'd love to do this. This would be great. So yeah, it kind of just spiraled off that really, and then ended up getting into uni, loving it. And then I sort of fell into the intensive care side of things. I did predominantly cardiac and intensive care for quite a long time, for quite a number of years. And then I thought, I really want to work within IBD. This is what I came into it for. And a job came up. So I did a secondment for a year and then I got a permanent post. So I've been there about 18 months now.
Oh, brilliant. And your patients are so lucky to have somebody that's had that firsthand knowledge and experience. I can't imagine how much support that must give to your patients. They're very, very lucky.
Oh, yeah. It is helpful. And I think from my point of view as well, you know, it is helpful when somebody's sort of understands what you're going through, when, you know, it can be really hard, can't it? So it is helpful.
Now, as a sort of wrap up of your pre-pregnancy, because of you coming from nursing yourself, I'm going to actually ask you two questions. I normally ask people one question, but I'm going to ask you two.
Okay.
So first question being, from a patient perspective, what advice would you give to nurses regarding pregnancy with a soma? So what advice would you tell them to pass on to other patients? So what would be your top tip?
I think the top tip is to tell the patients that there is lots of support out there. Because I think I felt I went into this quite blind, as if, you know, even working in IBD, I didn't know many patients. In my journey so far as an IBD nurse, I hadn't come across many patients who had IBD with a stoma and pregnant. So I probably myself wouldn't have known what to offer them. But I think it's just about letting them know to access any information they can to make it easier for them, and just, you know, reach out to whoever they can, basically, and call your nurse, your IBD nurses, your stoma nurses, whoever, as much as you need to.
Fantastic. Now I'm going to flip your role around. I want you to go into nurse role now. What tips and advice would you give to a patient now from something that they may not be aware of? So obviously we've spoken about the whole reaching out for support, but more of a physical, like, well-being side of things. What would your advice be there?
So I would say, from a stoma point of view, I would say measure your stoma, because it does change. That's a big thing. And I think that's key to the comfort, the fit, leaks, the skin, the health of the stoma, everything. So just get into a good habit, because I've not measured. I mean, pre being pregnant, I would have never measured my stoma just as I better just check. But even that, like over the last 4 years, my body's probably changed. So, but I've never thought, I just went along with the same template that I'd had. I have them